Welcome, everybody, and thanks for joining me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we listen to the world. And this is November 26, 2024. One more month left in this year, which seems unbelievable in some ways, but I guess that's just the way it is. But, you know, I always think I really like years that are even numbers. And look at that, 2024. But you know what? I'll admit, I'm looking forward to turning the page and to 2025. Let's see what's going to happen for us then. But let's not get too far into the future. We're just going to go maybe the week ahead and a little bit further on today's show. But I want to thank you so much for joining me this holiday week, because I know you probably have lots to do, and I appreciate your taking the time to join us live, or maybe you're listening to this show as an encore or through the archives on demand on 12radio.com. So if that's the case, thank you for doing that too. But for those of you who are live today, I just want to say thank you very much, because like I said, I really do appreciate what it takes to, you know, tune in. And also, you know, in a week like this, when many people, you know, their schedules are different. Maybe they have relatives in town, or maybe they're traveling themselves, or just in general dealing with life, right? So thank you very much for being here today. And I know that I change my mind a lot. What can I say? I'm not a Gemini, but sometimes you might think I was. Although I do have my sun and my Mercury sitting in the third house of my natal chart. And you know, that's the Gemini house. So in some ways, I'm kind of an honorary Gemini, even though I'm not really one. And I don't have a single Gemini planet in my chart. But in any case, that's by way of saying, yes, I was going to talk about Aquarius, because, you know, a number of things going on. I had a vacation, and then we had Moa on the show. So I feel like we haven't really done that really deep dive into Pluto and Aquarius that I wanted to do. And I was going to do it this week, but then I'm looking at what's happening this week, and there's lots of stuff, including the Mercury retrograde and a new moon, and of course Thanksgiving. So I thought, you know what, we're going to put that off maybe one more week. But for those of you who, you know, read my article in Mark's Power Peak, and who listen to the show weekly, you know I'm really, really excited about this energy, Pluto and Aquarius. So I'm not dropping it. And, you know, this next week will not be the only show that we devote to Pluto and Aquarius. But what I'm thinking is not only just putting out, you know, messages, what I think it really means or what the possibilities are, but also maybe doing individual messages for each of the signs. We haven't done that for a long time. And I think that would be a fun thing, at least, you know, at this initial stage. And of course, remember that Pluto is going to be in Aquarius for almost 20 years. It's going to be there through March of 2043. Then it's going to do that retrograde thing back and forth a few times, and won't finally leave Aquarius until January of 2044. So we really are looking at least a good 19 years or more of Pluto and Aquarius. So it's not like in one show or in one fell swoop, we're going to know everything that's going on with that Pluto. But I think it's worthwhile, especially when what we call these outer planets make a move, to kind of just set the energy, set the stage. So we are going to do that next week with a little more detail. But what I would remind you of, and I've already mentioned this, but I think it's important, because even for myself, you know how sometimes you have a mantra, or you have a word, or you have a phrase, or you have a picture that is always a signal to you of something you want to be reminded of, something that you want to keep close to your heart. And there again, a lot of times it's a symbol of some sort. Like for instance, one thing I have on my desk is a Buddha, but it's in the shape of a rubber duck. And I know that's funny, but I was in a little town in California one time, and they had this whole selection of rubber ducks. But the little rubber ducks, you know, they have regular ones, but then they had them made out like all these different people. So this one is like the Buddha. And I got it for my desk. And it, to me, it's a symbol that spirituality doesn't have to be dull and boring. It can be fun. It can be an everyday adventure. So when I look up and I see that Buddha holding his fan and sitting in a very Buddha pose, but he's half duck, You know, I mean, it always makes me smile. And it does remind me that spirituality, or learning to live on this planet, really is a combination of understanding that there's the material world and the metaphysical or spiritual world. They're both there, always working collaboratively and intertwining with each other. So that's why I'm giving you, or I'm saying some of these things about Pluto right now. Just tuck them away again. I've said them before, but just tuck them away. I believe overall, the main thing about Pluto, the transformer, being in the sign of Aquarius, the sign of friendship, the sign of revolution, the sign of science and math and all kinds of things, but certainly the sign of alliances. I believe its message to us now and will continue to be, find your people, find your pack. Now, whatever you call that, maybe you call it a group or a tribe or a faction or a family or a clan or a community or a village or an alliance. Maybe you call it a coalition. Maybe you call it soulmates or maybe a kinship circle. Whatever it is to you, I think this is a time when we're going to align with those kinds of groups. And we're going to really do this dance back and forth with belonging. And in fact, that's a term that I picked up from Raven Caldera, talking about how all of the signs have, you know, two extremes. They, you know, they've got two sides to them usually. Now, some of the signs really are very dualistic, you know, those mutable signs. But almost every sign kind of dances between two extremes. And with Aquarius, it's the dance of belonging. And so I think that's what we're doing. And so if nothing else, I just want you to think about that, you know, and how important that is to align with people that you agree with or the people that, you know, you feel like are soulmates. But it's not necessarily that every group that you align with are people that you agree with. Maybe they're the people that provoke you. Maybe they're the people that teach you. You know, there's all kinds of groups that we belong to. And that's another factor. If you think about Prometheus, who is one of the mythological gods associated with Aquarius, well, what did he do? He turned his back on his tribe, the gods, who said, you're not going to give fire to humans, which is what he was doing. He was a teacher and he wanted to give fire to humans, bring it down to the world. And the gods said, no. Well, that was the point at which Prometheus said, yeah, I belong to this group, but I'm going to turn my back on them. I'm going to be a rebel. I'm going to do something different. So in that moment, he was aligning with, I think, what he saw as a higher purpose, but he was also aligning with a different group and saying, in this moment, this is more important to me. So in that sense, I think we're going to do that too. That, you know, every moment, every day is sort of a decision about what we are aligning with. And not that we're just going to make friends and then throw them away or anything like that. But there's going to be a lot of those issues about where do we really belong? And maybe one of the things we're going to learn more than anything else is we belong to ourselves. That's where we really belong. So that's one of the things I want you to just keep in your mind is your pack, your group, and how important it is to align, you know, with, I mean, maybe this is a time when you're really going to focus on friendships and deepening those bonds and alliances with certain people. Or maybe this is a time when you're going to change all that. You're going to see yourself that just because we went to grade school together doesn't mean we have to be lifetime friends. Now, I'm not saying good or bad or however you want to do it. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I think that's an issue that's going to be important. Another issue that we'll continue to go into is that I really think, and I know this seems kind of like an odd concept, but I think it's something that just keeps coming through to me, and that is learning to use games and competition and even sparring and maybe even fighting as ways to improve our knowledge, skills, and abilities. Ways to hone our intuition and sharpen our minds. And just think of them, I mean, because if you think about it really, especially when we're children, that's exactly what we're doing. We're play fighting, or we're, you know, kids with swords or whatever it is. We're playing at competition. And then it really does become competition, whether it's football or, you know, the typical sports or tennis or anything that you're doing. Maybe you play chess, but starting to see life and different things, even when it's, you know, it's an argument, maybe it is a disagreement, but see it as an opportunity to improve your knowledge, skills, and abilities. You know, have some fun with it instead of just always either turning away from confrontation, turning away from competition. Just make it your friend. And there again, that one is a little, you know, I don't know why that keeps coming, but it really does. So I think, okay, maybe the revolutionary spirit of Aquarius has to do with, you know, really changing our minds about what competition really looks like or what its purpose is. Then the final one is using our talents and abilities collaboratively in cooperation with others towards projects that represent shared values. So this is something too that it just keeps coming in. In fact, this week, as I was writing my article for Mark's Power Peak, it was coming too that, you know, sometimes if you're working without a purpose, or if you can't see the connection sometimes to your daily world with your spiritual or your inner world, then you just feel disconnected. But that being said, it's not like you're off being a missionary or, you know, a spiritual teacher or spending all your time taking spiritual classes or anything like that. It's knowing that that's who you are all the time. And part of our purpose is to intertwine those things together. So enough of Pluto. We are going to really leave that. See, once I get started, I can hardly stop, right? So, and also I would invite you, I didn't think about this, I will invite you to join me over on Facebook in our private group. If you'd like to do that, you can, you know, go ahead and, you know, just send a message and I will read those and try to respond to them as I can. So please join me over there if you would like to do that. I know Renee is over there. Hey, Renee, thank you so much for always being here every week. And Patricia, thank you. And Kay Dragon, thank you so much. And I saw that beautiful Thanksgiving card that you sent, and I opened it up late last night and haven't responded, but thank you so much. And to James. James, you know, how lovely to have you here. And Leslie. So everybody, thank you for taking your time to be with me today. And anybody else that I might have missed, you can go ahead and go in there. And there again, if you have a question, I will try to respond as we're going through the show today if I can. So what have we got going on for this week? Well, and this, I think, sounds kind of counterintuitive, but, you know, as I always do a reading for the week, you know, and it's usually a collection of tarot cards. It's often, you know, some oracle cards and just other things that come. You know, of course, I'm looking at the astrology. But what I kept coming to this week was a word, re-energize yourself. Re-energize. And at first I thought, okay, now that doesn't quite sound like Thanksgiving week, because, you know, it sounds like, hey, we're busy, we're making the cranberry sauce, or maybe we're just making plans, or maybe we're just taking time off, whatever we're doing. I thought, re-energize? I mean, is that really what's going on? But then when I really look at some of the things going on this week, I go, yep, that really is the word for the week. And not only because for many of us, we've been through a very, I don't know, what should we say, challenging, difficult, psychologically stressful time. You know, it's just what's going on, kind of a sign of the times. And we need to counterbalance that. You know, we need to kind of dig back in and re-energize ourselves. So even though the message may seem a little counterintuitive, I think it's really appropriate for this week. And even if you are ramping up for those holidays, you know, take some time to relax, pay attention to your body, try not to take things too seriously, listen to your intuition. That one keeps coming up. Now, in some ways, you know, the field that I'm in, the people that I speak with, and you know, my life is about intuition, but I really mean this. I don't want it to just be this phrase, listen to your intuition, because this week in particular, there are just all kinds of messages about intuition. And you're going to hear me say that a couple of times today. So really stop and listen. And there again, you don't always have to analyze it. or know exactly what it means, but just learning in general to pay attention to yourself and to be your own best friend. Learn to trust it. You're going to know which things are really true intuition and what things are maybe just a fear coming up, you know, or a hope or a wish. You know, those are not quite the same thing. So you're going to learn that over time as you work with it. So I would encourage you to really pay attention to that and to just try to, as we go through here again, we're gearing up for the holidays that, you know, are typically the most celebrated, at least in this country and in the United States, but I think all over the world. These are the holidays that are you know, celebrated by the most people. Let's put it that way. Doesn't mean they're the most important holidays, but let's face it, it's just kind of built into our culture, isn't it? So it's okay, though, to adjust our expectations. Here again, Pluto is in Aquarius, the sign of the rebel. We can do things differently. And of course, readjust. If you listened to Kat yesterday, she did a good job talking about the Mercury retrograde, which started last night. And all those words that start with R-E, like revise, renew, renovate. You know, restructure, re-anything. Go back and do something again. And that's very much about what Mercury retrograde is about. So, you know, when I look at that Mercury going retrograde last night, it's in Sagittarius, but it's joining Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, and Chiron that are all moving retrograde at this time. Now, I don't think intuition stops when the planets are moving direct. But I personally think intuition is easier to access when planets are moving backwards or retrograde, because of course they're not really moving backwards, and there it's more precise to say the energy is going inward. So I think this is a perfect week to be paying attention to that. And if you also look and see that we are in the last days of the lunar cycle. So what happens? That's when we're releasing, we're really paying attention. Maybe we've got a different focus about what our lives are about, you know, and we see those things and go, really, is that so necessary? Maybe that's something I can give away. Maybe that's something I can re-gift to somebody else. Or what is this thing doing in my life? But the moon will be in Scorpio beginning Wednesday afternoon through early Saturday morning. Now, I mentioned that one for two reasons. One, because it does cover Thanksgiving Day, which some people are, hey, what's going to be going on that day? But it's also because as a water moon, it's one of the more psychic and intuitive of all the moons. It makes us naturally go within and go deep within ourselves and really, you know, look for meanings of things or just be more introspective than usual. So even though, yes, there's all kinds of new beginnings all the time, and we have that new beginning on Saturday with a new moon in Sagittarius, but leading up to that is, of course, the end of the lunar cycle, and the end of the lunar cycle in that very transformative and cathartic sign of Scorpio. So, you know, there again, it's like, when I think of relaxing, my first image is sitting in one of my favorite rocking chairs. You know, and it has an ottoman, you know, it's one of those really cushy ones, and sitting there with a cup of tea. That's what always comes to mind. Now, I may or may not actually have time to do that in a given day or in a certain moment, but even just thinking about it, just bringing that image into my mind actually helps me relax. You know, I feel my shoulders kind of unclenching. So even if I'm busy or I'm fighting the traffic or having to pick up one more thing from the store or whatever it is, even just that image goes, yeah. And sometimes I do say, you know what, I'm just going to treat myself. I'm going to take 10 minutes and I'm going to do this because it's going to make me more productive. So yeah, just allow yourself to soak up the energy of the last days of the lunar cycle, and particularly at the end of the week before we get to that new moon on Saturday, just feel that Scorpio energy. So let's talk a little bit more about some of the things going on. And I do want to talk about the Mercury retrograde. For those of you who really like to pay attention to some of the details, Mercury entered its shadow on November 6th. It was at 6 Sagittarius. And I'm pointing that out because even though I think during a Mercury retrograde, my personal experience, I was born with a Mercury retrograde and four other planets were retrograde. So of course I love them. But to me, I almost always find something that has been lost or misplaced or realize that something needs to go in a different location, or I fix something. You know, something that just wasn't working right, especially on the computer or some little technological thing or, you know, I don't know, lots of different things that somehow just weren't working quite right. On a Mercury retrograde, I figure it out. It's like, oh, this is what that needs, or that's how that works. So you know what? Embrace that, because Mercury retrograde can actually bring you all kinds of interesting experiences that turn your life around. You know, so, you know, when people, I get this question a lot, because if there's something physical going on, they go, oh my God, my doctor wants me to come in or run blood tests or wants to do surgery. And, you know, of course, there are certain times that, yeah, I'm not going to say there's no way to look at that and say, okay, don't do it then. But you know what I find on the Mercury retrograde in particular is when we fix things. So sometimes the very diagnosis that the doctor couldn't quite get their finger on, all of a sudden then becomes very clear under a Mercury retrograde. But on the other hand, I would say, let's say that you do get a diagnosis and it just doesn't sit right. I mean, it just doesn't sound right. There again, your intuition says, no, we need to keep looking. Then keep looking. I'm not saying that everything that happens on a Mercury retrograde is meant to be or perfect, but I'm saying it's amazing how many things come up that actually make something clearer than it was before. And it's kind of funny. I had some Chinese food the other night and I picked up one of the fortune cookies, you know, had to see what my fortune was. And it literally said, clarity will soon be yours. And I just kind of laughed because it was right, you know, corresponding to Mercury moving retrograde. And I said, well, of course it will. Clarity and Mercury retrograde. And so also remember that these retrogrades are really an optical illusion. It's from our perspective on Earth, what it looks like to us. It looks like planets are moving backwards. But of course, as far as I know, they don't really move backwards. They may have kind of some weird orbits, but they don't particularly move backwards. But what they do on a psychological level is the energy turns inward. You know, it's like we're paying attention to something on a different level. Like, for instance, I find too, sometimes it's a revelation that comes to me about doing something different. Now, I may or may not do that thing during the Mercury retrograde, but the revelation comes and I go, oh, that's how that can happen, or that's something to try. So there again, embrace it, don't worry about it. And when you think about it too, because we talk so much about the different planets, remember Mercury is the planet of communication and thinking and connecting the dots. It's also the planet that governs the nervous system. So there again, maybe that's one of the reasons that whole idea of re-energizing came up. It's because with Mercury retrograde, and there again, what retrograde on the evening of Monday, the 25th of November, it'll be that way until the 15th of December, about somewhere around noon, I think, is when it goes direct. But, you know, we may find that we particularly need those times of relaxation. We need to allow our nervous systems to have a break here and there. So think about that too. And when you think about, okay, and what sign is it in? Well, it's in the sign of Sagittarius. Fire wants to be inspired. But it's also, this is the sign of seeking the truth. You know, Sagittarius is always on an adventure. It's a student. It's always collecting experiences. And so some of the things, it really wants to be right. You know, there's a little saying that, you know, Aries wants to be first, Sagittarius wants to be right. It's also, by the way, the sign of religion. But when you think about the word religion, if you go back into its true meaning, it has to do with linking things together, linking sets of beliefs, linking people. So by definition, the difference, if you look at religion versus spirituality, religion is usually a group activity, where people collectively accept certain traditions or practices. And Sagittarius is very much a part of that. But of course, what we're going to be seeing, especially with Pluto and Aquarius, is, you know, and we see this with Sag anyway, is when something becomes too rigid, then we're not really channeling that real spirituality. We're just doing a bunch of practices. We're making a lot of movements. And Sagittarius always has that dilemma. That dance back and forth with Sagittarius with the truth, that's its dance toward and away from the truth. And so when something just starts to feel too rote, when something just starts to feel too meaningless, then we're going to rebel a little bit. And Sag is going to go look for another adventure. It's going to go look for more experiences. It wants to go find something out, because all of a sudden that pattern doesn't feel real anymore. It feels meaningless. So there again, if you think about this, Mercury in Sag, moving retrograde, is telling you that maybe something in your life you need a greater awareness of. Maybe something has become just so pat. It's become so routine. And now you're like, what? I'm not sure how I feel about this. So to me, some of the messages of Mercury retro in Sagittarius is a greater awareness of relationship dynamics. And there again, I think we're going to have that little feedback from Pluto and Aquarius, because it's kind of in a good connection to Sagittarius, right? Those two signs are sextile. They get along. So Pluto and Aquarius, you know, Pluto the Transformer says, yeah, are you really aware of everything going on with your relationship dynamics? And there again, that can be everything. You know, it can be spiritual truth and wisdom. It can be all, you know, the way you relate to a loved one, a family member, even strangers, people that you work with, all kinds of people in your life. A greater awareness of relationship dynamics. I think that's one of the things that this particular Mercury retrograde will, you know, really help us with. Another thing that has come up a couple times over the last few weeks, and so I feel like it must be a message that in some way, even my guides are going, knock, knock, did you get that? Did you understand what that meant? You obviously didn't, so we're going to teach you a different way, or we're going to show it to you again in a different way. And so when that happens, I go, okay, I'm trying to pay attention here. And what it is the idea of that we can't really do things in a meaningless or mindless manner and still expect to be, you know, to have that reward from them. That things need to be, and maybe this is just for me, but things need to be locked in or coordinated with a spiritual path or with a spiritual meaning. And so part of that is, you know, and especially as we get into this week, Thanksgiving, and then moving into the other holidays, it's about our feelings of being deserving or receiving and giving. What are the attachments that we have to that? And, you know, when you really think about it, if you could visualize your ability to receive, what would it look like to you? And, you know, of course, I'd like to say, oh, I am so willing. But, you know, I cannot believe when I start paying attention how many times somebody says, hey, you know, I'll do this for you. And I go, oh, no, I can do that. Or they want to give me something. And I go, oh, no, I'll get online and I'll buy that. And so when I really start paying attention, I'm wondering, what is my issue with not letting other people help me or buy me something, right? And, you know, it probably goes way beyond undeserving. Maybe it's a matter of I need to feel independent. You know, I need to feel like I can do it on my own. So I'm throwing this out there because, like I said, I feel like it keeps coming up that sometimes in life, it's worth really stopping and looking at that. You know, what are our beliefs about being, you know, interdependent is what I'd say, with other people? And how does it dictate our experience? Because if we always say, no, don't give me a free ticket. No, don't do me that for me. You know, then we turn around and go, oh, I'm lonely. I don't have any friends. I don't have, you know, poor me. Well, are we doing that? Are we sending the message, I am so independent and so able to take care of everything, I don't need you? And think about it from your level. How good does it feel to be able to do something that somebody really needs help with, or to give somebody something that you know that they would really love. You know, why do we want that for ourselves, but we don't want it for other people? So I think that's one of the messages too, just looking at those relationship dynamics in terms of our willingness to really be interdependent with other people. You know, that kind of thing. So just think about it. And think about too, whatever you're doing in your daily life, how is it related to your spiritual values, to your spiritual goals, to your spiritual path? And it doesn't mean, I mean, I think I've read this, if some of you might, if you're older, you might be familiar with books that were called Emmanuel's books. And there were three of them, and I don't remember when they were written, probably in the 60s or 70s. But one of the things, I think they're wonderful. I haven't read them in a long, long time. So I think there is a possibility that I could say, well, they didn't travel through time well, but I don't think that's going to be true if I picked them up and read them again. But one of the things I'll never forget is that somebody had asked Emmanuel, who was a channeled being, a question, you know, like, I just don't have time for meditation, or I don't have time for this, that, and the other thing. And I'm going to paraphrase here, but he basically said something about, do angels or spiritual beings pack lunches and get kids off to school? Apparently, they do. And it was one of those kind of comments. It just made me laugh. But you know what? That entity was saying, he, if you want to say it that way, was, you know, why do you separate these two things, that you're spiritual if you're sitting in meditation, you're spiritual if you're doing a discipline, but somehow doing everyday activities and being grounded in your spirituality, you know, you think those are different, those are separate things. You still remain that spiritual being all the time. You're a spiritual being having a physical experience. And so that's a thing to remember too, you know, and don't judge yourself. You know, when you find that you're just getting all caught up in something very material and you're not getting the rewards you want, maybe just stop and think, how does this correspond? How could I do this as a spiritual person? Maybe that's what you can think about with Mercury retrograde. Okay, let's move on. I have a few thoughts about Thanksgiving, and specifically it's a Scorpio moon. You know, as we experience that this week, well, once again, intuition is going to be very high. I think you can expect revelations and insights because of the Scorpio moon, but also because Mercury is moving retrograde. That's going to help. But it also increases the possibility, especially on Thanksgiving Day. But, you know, like I said, it starts Wednesday afternoon and goes through Saturday morning. It increases the possibility that we're going to feel more nostalgic than usual, maybe more sentimental, and emotions may be more intense than usual. Think about that. And there again, that includes kids. Maybe you'll see kids with temper tantrums, and you're like, where did that come from? You know, I'll never forget, and I think I probably told you before, it was on one of the holidays, and one of my nephews was at my house, and I can't remember, we were, you know, doing some kind of a casual thing, actually, but right around the holidays, and he wanted a chocolate cupcake or something, and we said, no, you have to eat your dinner first. Well, he threw himself on the floor, just threw himself very dramatically on the floor and started to scream. And we're all just kind of looking at him going, what? I mean, what the heck, you know, was that all about? Well, to me, that's an intense display of emotion. And he wanted, you know, he was young, by the way. I don't remember how old, maybe 2 years old. But he wanted to make sure that none of us missed it. So we got it. But we basically just go, okay, wear yourself out, get up, eat your dinner, and then you're going to have the chocolate cupcake or whatever it was that he wanted. So, you know, I think with this kind of a moon, you know, there's all kinds of things that could be going on for us too. Or we might even be looking for hidden meanings or messages. You know, somebody says something and, you know, we're going very, very deep when all they really said is pass the turkey, you know? And so you can look for those hidden meanings if you want to. You know, if it entertains you, if it's an interesting thing to do, then do it. But otherwise, just remember that to some extent, And here again, kids included, people might be a little more intense in their emotional expression, or they could be the opposite. They could just completely shut up. They could just like keep it all inside. That could happen too. And it's always in my mind a mistake to think that whatever the emotional expression is an accurate picture of feelings. Because you know what? They're not the same thing. A person could be sad, they could be annoyed, they could be happy, and still have just a very placid, calming expression on their face. Expression of emotion is different than feeling. So don't assume that you know what somebody is feeling just by their expression. And you know, the moon in an astrology chart really shows us how a person is likely to demonstrate those feelings. But recognize that feelings are likely to be strong and intense. So just be prepared for it, you know? And once again, that's a good reason to just, you know, relax, re-energize yourself, and focus. This is what I really think for Thanksgiving Day, and it sounds just obvious, but focus on simple things, simple pleasures. You know, maybe just the pleasure of being around some family or some people that you're not usually around. Or maybe the pleasure of being a little more, you know, maybe it's a very small gathering. Maybe it's not a gathering at all. Maybe you've decided, hey, this is a day for me and I'm going to do exactly what I want. I want to be thankful for my solitude, thankful for what's going on in my life. So just focus on the simple pleasures without trying to do deep, deep analysis. Now, you're naturally going to be pulled that way with the Scorpio moon, but you don't have to go there, okay? All right. Now, I also want to touch base with that new moon that's going to be at 9 Sagittarius on Saturday. And that's actually Saturday night that that's going to happen, even though the moon will move into Sagittarius early that morning. So with that Scorpio, by late Friday night, early Saturday morning is when it's going to move into Sagittarius. But we won't have the new moon until 10:21 p.m. and that's Pacific time. So that puts it after midnight on the East Coast. So new moons in Sagittarius, as I said before, Sag is really the dance toward and away from the truth. So I'm going to give you a few things, and these are suggested. They're not, you know, word for word, but just suggested ideas by Raven Caldera, who wrote the Moon Phase Astrology book, which of course I love. And I just go back to, mine's literally falling apart. In fact, I think I have two, because one of them, the pages just continually fall out. But he calls this particular moon the gypsy. And think about it too. A new moon is like the youthful, the baby, the very beginning of the experience. So Sagittarius, ruled by Jupiter, lucky Jupiter. So this is an energy. And by the way, when I say it's, you know, the new moon, well, it describes people that were born on a new moon in Sagittarius. It describes Saturday and Sunday, but also it's a tone that goes throughout this particular lunar cycle. Now, of course, if you really think about it, if the moon stayed in Sagittarius the whole time, then we go through some of the other levels of it. Like, what would it do at the full moon? What would it do when it's getting ready to move into Capricorn? But think of just some of these ideas. This is a carefree and curious energy. It's an energy that thinks of itself as lucky. And Sag, in many ways, is a collector of experiences. So what is its mission? To come in contact with as many different people or things as possible, to get those experiences, to figure them out, to just experience things. And it samples, very much like its opposite sign of Gemini. It wants to sample different people, different cultures, customs, and ideas, gather a variety of friends and acquaintances. It just wants to have everything. It wants to say, what can I learn over here? So it can be very tolerant and accepting of a wide range of beliefs and behaviors. So here again, you know, in contrast to Thanksgiving Day, when people, you know, could be kind of, you know, with that Scorpio moon kind of shut up or a little more, you know, into themselves, Saturday, if you wanted to plan something specifically, like maybe for Sunday, you know, on kind of this buoyant energy of Sagittarius, maybe that would be a good day. Now, Saturday might be too, but it's going to be even more buoyant on Sunday when that new moon has really taken effect. So, you know, just like, hey, yeah, I want to experience something. I don't want to judge it. I just want to figure out what it is. And, you know, this energy of the gypsy, so to speak, is I just want to travel. I just want to go. I don't care. Wherever I end up is fine. I just want to experience something new. Now, here's another thing about Sagittarius, and I really relate to this. I have a Sag rising. They hate to be tied down. They always want an exit strategy. So the biggest temptation is to avoid complex, touchy, or emotional situations and issues because they want to slip away. They want to have an opportunity. They don't want to get too tied down. They don't want to get too into something. So the drawback, though, to escaping behavior is that sometimes we don't develop the coping skills or the discipline that we need to deal with stress. You know, instead, it's like, I just want to get out of here. In fact, I don't know if I've ever told you this story. I think it's funny. It always makes me smile when I think about it. I worked in the corporate world for a very long time. And I once was in a situation, it was during an evaluation, and my boss, you know, he was big on asking other people, you know, people that I supervised or other supervisors in the department for feedback. And he goes, I only got one piece of feedback. And he goes, and that is that you're an empire builder. You're always trying to, you know, well, you know what that means. I don't need to explain it. And I kind of go, okay, I just smiled because truthfully, that's just not my deal. I mean, I think I certainly have some leadership and management abilities, but I'm not into building empires, especially in the corporate world. Well, and I said, well, I'm not going to accept that feedback unless you tell me, give me an example of it. You know, give me an example. And he goes, well, the person that gave that to me said that recently you came into a meeting with, you know, and these were doctors and pretty high-powered people we were doing research with. And he said, you know, there were like 10 or 12 people, and you came into a meeting and you sat at the head of the table. And truthfully, here I am in an evaluation with my boss, and I just burst out laughing. And I said, you remember that meeting? I said, I was 10 minutes late. I had another meeting before that. I was the last person in the room. I said, and I took the only chair available. But the other reason I laughed is because I really, and this goes back to the Sagittarius. When I'm in a meeting or when I go into a room, I almost always sit by the door. Now, the truth is, I'm not going to get up in the middle of the meeting and run out. But psychologically, I want to know that it's possible. I mean, it's just what I do. You know, in classes, ever since I was a kid, if I could sit at the back of the classroom near the door, I always did. When I was in college, I always sat near the door. And, you know, sometimes I've asked myself that, what is so important about the door? Well, I think it's my Sag rising. Because I think it's just that idea, if I'm bored or if I really don't want to be here, I can run out. And like I said, I don't think in my whole life I've ever done that, but there's something about it. I don't want to be stuck in the middle of the room. I don't want to be stuck at the front. I want to have an exit plan. And so I just told my boss, I said, you know, the last place I would have ever sat in that room was at the head of, you know, the table, because that's the farthest from the door. I said, have you ever seen me sit anywhere except near the door? I said, that's just ridiculous. And it's ridiculous to say I'm empire building because I took the only chair left at the table. But in any case, I have never forgotten that. And I think to me, it would just ground in that energy of Sagittarius. I want, you know, and whether that's kind of the shadow side of Sag, whatever you want to call it, but I want to be able to escape. I want to be able to go on an adventure. I want to get out of here. So when you're dealing with Sag energy, whether it's the new moon or whether you're dealing with the sun in Sag, like we are now, or any other planet in Sagittarius, they want adventure and they're really wary of making those commitments. You know, they often don't go deep or hang around too long to commit. Now they're going to go deep philosophically, but they want to keep their options open. I don't know how I'm going to feel next month or in the future. So if you find, like on this new moon cycle particularly, that people have resistance to making promises or planning too far into the future, well, that's what we get when we're under Sagittarius energy. Now, the only thing that the caveat here, though, is that right now we have Venus in Capricorn. And see, Venus in Capricorn wants to make commitments. That's what she says. That's what I value. So you can also see there's a little tension going on there, too, between that kind of energy. But during this lunar cycle, don't be surprised if people are saying, hey, I just want to keep my options open. I just want to play. I just want to have an adventure. You know, that's what we want. So the other thing, when you consider this moon, though, the strongest and most influential influences on this new moon, because we want to look at the whole picture. We want to look at what else is going on. Well, the sun and moon are both being trined. That's a very positive connection to Mars in Leo, another fire sign. That's huge because, you know, it's like that is big, flashy, bold energy of self-expression. So here again, when we're under the influence of that new moon this weekend, and even moving forward, we're really picking up on that Leo energy of I've got to be me. I want to be me. I want to tell the world who I am and what I'm doing. But the other thing that's going on at the same time is that that moon is squaring Saturn. And Saturn is the disciplinarian, and Saturn is sitting in Pisces, which is a very intuitive, spiritual sign, but it's also a square, which means we've got to make some kind of adjustment. So while Mars is just like, you know, saddling up the horses, let's get going, let's go, let's ride this wave of passion and enthusiasm, then we have Saturn kind of not shutting things down, but it's just this sense of control or this sense of, hey, wait a minute, where are we going? And so true to the Sagittarian spirit, we are mostly going to be good-natured and bold and very likely pushing boundaries and limits, especially with Mars. Because see, Mars in Leo, by the way, to me is the ultimate of the definition of the influencer. I mean, almost any planet in Leo, but Mars in Leo right now says, yeah, I want to influence. I want to lead. I want people to look at me. I want them to copy, not necessarily copy, but I want to influence people. So influencing that new moon, it's going push, do it, you know? And so I think it will be a wave of passion and a wave of excitement and doing things. And what that, to me, when I look at that picture, especially with the square with Saturn, I feel like what it's going to say is, hey, wait a minute. And when it comes to our goals and intentions for the future, it's probable, I think, that we are going to be pushing beyond our means and abilities. But this isn't the problem. The problem is if we try to do it without a safety net. And to me, the Saturn is trying to tell us that. It's trying to say, plan, organize, structure your dreams to make more sense instead of just launching out and hoping that the enthusiasm and passion will be enough to carry you to the goal. Now, here's the other way that other message was coming in, is that Saturn not only says, hey, please don't be tempted to skip all those planning preliminaries, but also it's saying dreams without a core root structure, without a foundation in a spiritual or communal value are likely short-lived and ultimately unsatisfying. That's one of the issues, is that we do push, we get something going, we achieve it, and then we go, not so good, or it just doesn't get us what we want. It doesn't quite feel right. You know, and that automatically made me think of, get rich quick schemes that rarely work. And why do they not work? I mean, there's probably a number of reasons, but especially if they're not rooted in some kind of true value system, and if there's any level of dishonesty or a lack of ethics or taking advantage of others, you know, I'll get it before somebody else does, or I'm going to get this for nothing. I'm not going to put any effort. I'm just going to make money, or I'm just going to get this thing to happen. When we expect something for nothing, oftentimes it just falls flat. You know, and I think we need to be particularly careful, because that caution may be particularly pertinent with both Mercury and Jupiter retrograde at this point. Because remember, Jupiter is the ruler of Sagittarius, and Jupiter is the planet of luck and benefit, but it is also a planet of ethics. You know, and so as it's moving retrograde in Gemini, I think we're wise to simplify our thinking and avoid leaping into something precipitously. But here again, as I wrote in my PowerPeak article, don't abandon your dreams of painting the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Just make sure that you have the scaffolding in place to support your creativity. And really think about this idea. Sag is that dance towards and away from truth. You know, it's not set in stone. I don't really think it is, and you probably agree with that. So, you know, what does that dance look like? What are the things in life that, you know, maybe there is something and you just say, yeah, I just want to back away from this. I really wasn't prepared. But here again, I think that Mars is real. I mean, that's an exciting energy right now. It truly is. It is the energy of really pressing ourselves. And I was thinking too, that's the kind of energy that makes athletes get better and better and better and better. You know, why do they keep breaking records? Now, of course, their equipment gets better. Sometimes, you know, the clothes get better, the shoes get better, or whatever it is. But, and we want to do that. And, you know, you don't break records and you don't push forward without, you know, if every time you come up against something going, it's not possible, right? So we've got that Mars at our back, especially during this particular lunar cycle. But if we do not heed the warning of Saturn, which is specifically, do you have the scaffolding in place? Have you figured this out? Do you have a plan? And if we're not willing to really look at some of those spiritual and communal values, which I think is Pisces, then, you know, it may not live up to our expectations. So that is the new moon cycle. And I realize we're getting close to the end of the show, so I'm going to give you a few quotes of just people that I think they really epitomize Sagittarian thinking, whether it's a Sag moon or Mercury in Sag. But one of them is Freddie Mercury, you know, from Queen, the lead singer of Queen. And he had a moon in Sagittarius opposing, by the way, Uranus in Gemini. And he said, I won't be a rock star. I will be a legend. Now, see, that to me is Sagittarius. And here's another one, just food for thought, especially with the Saturn. This is Steven Spielberg, who has Moon in Scorpio conjunct Chiron, but square Saturn. And he said, I think one of the worst things that happened to me was, you know, my voluntary fallout with my father. And then the greatest thing that happened to me was when I saw the light and realized I needed to love him in a way that he could love me back. Now, when I first hear that, there is a part of me that kind of rebels against that, like, well, if he couldn't love you, then you move on, you know? But what I really hear in there is that moon in Scorpio, but square Saturn, that says, you know what? I need to construct something a little bit different. I need to love him in a way that he could love me back. Now, if he didn't want that as his ultimate goal, then he didn't need to change at all. But that moon square Saturn made that, or I shouldn't say made, but, you know, represents that that relationship with his father was difficult. But it also represents his ability to take on his own authority, his own power, and take responsibility for the relationship. You know, and by the way, I don't know anything about Steven Spielberg and his relationship with his dad, so I'm just kind of talking astrology here, but that's what I imagine, is that he said, I'm the authority here. If I want a relationship, I can structure it. I can structure it if I'm willing to listen to Saturn instead of just rebelling against it, which a lot of times is something that we do. So then another person that has a lot of Sag, Moon, Mercury, and Venus in Sag, was Howard Hughes. And I'll tell you what, it's hard to find one of his quotes that isn't just extreme. You know, he says, "I'm willing to go beyond all limitations. Adventure is the essence of life. Do the impossible." And he says, "Passion will make you crazy, but is there any other way to live?" Now, like I said, it's hard to find one of his quotes that isn't just extreme, really. So he's quite the poster child for Sagittarius. But in any case, we got to wrap this up. And once again, I am so thankful for your joining me today. I really do appreciate it. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving and, you know, really get into your intuition. And I will be excited to hear the different messages that are coming through for you. So thanks for joining me. Thanks to the listeners and everybody in the chat room. Thanks for your messages. And thanks to our producer, Jay Varvel. And please stay tuned because Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone is coming up next. You can find me on 12listen.com. And if you don't see me as available, just ask. I mean, just send me a quick note. You know, you can do that through the click for, you know, system through 12listen and just say, "Hey, I want to talk to you." You can either request a call or you can just request a call back. And I will be available this week. I do have family in town, but I do plan on being available. So, you know, you want to talk, please let me know. All right. So this is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we really are changing the way we take charge of our thinking about the world.